We are in the sermon series about relationships. Fragile, how to cultivate healthy relationships. In the first week, we learned that the best gift you can give to your relationship is healthy you. Last week, we learned how to communicate better with one another. Today, we are focusing on forgiveness. Let us imagine a broken heart. Just as a heart can be physically broken, our hearts can be broken emotionally and spiritually as well. When we experience hurt, betrayal, or injustice, our hearts become heavy with pain, anger, and bitterness. These feelings can weigh us down, causing us to feel isolated, hopeless, and helpless. We may feel excruciating pain cutting our hearts, unstoppable tears and agony in our souls, many, many sleepless nights, or feelings of unworthiness. Have you ever experienced these feelings? Do you feel that your heart has been broken? Today, we will be thinking about the topic of forgiveness, as taught in the Bible. Forgiveness is a fundamental concept and one of the most important aspects of our faith. Yet, it can also be one of the most challenging. Forgiveness can be difficult to understand and practice, especially when we have been hurt deeply by someone. It's easy to hold on to anger, resentment, and bitterness towards those who have wronged us. But Jesus teaches us that forgiveness is not just a nice thing to do. It is essential as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's read from the text. It's from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 34. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into the prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Please join me in prayer. Our God and our Father, you know that we have been deeply hurt. Our lives are impacted significantly by the sins and betrayal of others. God, we pray that your word would speak life and hope to us, that your spirit would give us the power to do what we cannot do by ourselves. Lord, we pray that the power of Holy Spirit would be in us so that we could offer the same forgiveness that we received through Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Who has betrayed you? Who has lied to you or lied about you? Who has mistreated you or has taken advantage of you? Especially when you are betrayed by someone that you trusted, someone you admired, someone that you loved dearly. It hurts so much. It's very, very painful. It might have been your friend, the person you thought was your best friend, but you found out that they were lying about you to others. It might have been a kid who bullied you at school. It might have been your boyfriend, a girlfriend who didn't respect you, but abused you. Or how about your spouse, whom you trusted in love and faithfulness, who betrayed your trust and broke and crushed your heart? How about a mom or dad who was supposed to protect you and provide for your needs, but they abused and mistreated you instead? They ignored your needs. Their words made you feel small and worthless. How about someone who took away the innocence of your childhood? Who has betrayed you, broken your heart? Who has made us live in this pain, anger, and bitterness? Do we need to forgive those people? How can you forgive them when they don't deserve our forgiveness? We just read Matthew chapter 18. For some of you, it is a new story, but some of you, this is a parable which you have heard many, many times. I pray for those who are so familiar with this story that the Holy Spirit will open your ears and heart to listen to this story in a fresh way. So Peter came to Jesus and asked, "How many times do I need to forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times?" Forgiving someone 7 times was very generous, since the traditional Jewish law required you to forgive someone 3 times. Maybe something happened to Peter, and he had forgiven the person more than 3 times. Maybe he wanted to brag about his action to Jesus that he could forgive someone up to 7 times, more than double of what the law required. But what did Jesus answer? How many times did Jesus ask him to forgive? 77 times. Which could have also meant 70 times 7. If you do the math, how many times are 70 times 7? Yes, it's 490 times. If a person counts how many times they are forgiving someone, they will probably lose count when they get over 50 or 60. Of course, Jesus didn't mean that you have to literally forgive 490 times. But what he meant was that you have to forgive an unlimited times. To explain his point of view of forgiveness, he told a parable. A parable is a simple story to teach a moral or spiritual lesson. Jesus often used parable to explain his teaching. So the parable goes like this. A servant owed his master a huge debt, 10,000 bags of gold, which was an astronomical sum of money. One bag of gold was one talent, which was worth a daily wage for 20 years. So 10,000 bags of gold was worth the wages of 200,000 years of work. If we get a minimum hourly wages of $15 an hour, it would be $6,240,000,000. That is an astronomical amount of money. The servant begged the king for a little more time to pay back. But both king and the servant knew that he could never pay back. It was impossible to pay back. And here comes an unexpected, shocking surprise. The king decided to forgive the servant's debt out of compassion. Can you imagine? The king canceled the debt of $6,240,000,000. However, the servant did not extend the same forgiveness to a fellow servant who owed him a small amount of money, only 100 silver coins, a wage of about 3 months. So with a $15 hourly wage, it would be about $7,800. But he demanded payment. And when the fellow servant couldn't pay, he had him thrown into prison. When the master heard about this, he was outraged. He called the servant back and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you plead with me. And shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" The master then handed the unforgiving servant over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back his debt in full. This would be a lifetime sentence because the man could never repay the debt. This parable illustrates the importance of forgiveness in our lives. We are all like the servant who owed a great debt to our King, God. And just as the master in the parable forgave the servant's debt out of compassion, so God has forgiven us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But if we refuse to extend the same forgiveness to others, we are like the unforgiving servant, and we will suffer the consequences of our unforgiveness. So, before we talk about how we can forgive others, let's talk about what forgiveness does not mean. It does not mean approving of what someone else did. It does not mean pretending that evil never took place. It does not mean justifying evil so that sin somehow becomes less sinful. It does not mean overlooking abuse. It does not mean denying that others try to hurt you repeatedly. It does not mean letting others walk all over you. It does not mean forgetting the wrong that was done. It does not mean pretending that you are never hurt. It does not mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was before. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is letting go of our right to revenge and choosing to release the person from the debt they owe us. we choose to give up our desire for vengeance, and instead we extend grace and mercy. We surrender them to God for Him to deal with. The word forgive is the Greek word ephemi. It means to set free, to let go, to release, to discharge, or to liberate completely. It was used for canceling a debt or releasing someone from the obligation or commitment or promise. It's the picture of totally freeing and releasing someone. In one simple sentence, it means let it go. This is what the king did in the story. The king let the payment go, and he let the servant go. He let the payment go, and he let the servant, who owed him a few billion dollars, go free. You can guess the analogy of this story is that the king is God, who forgave our sins, and we are the debtors who owed billions of dollars to God. When God counted all our sins, I wonder how much our sin weighed. If we count our sins as borrowed money, I wonder how great a debt we have to God. Every time we are less than honest, every time we lie about something, every time we are unloving to family or even to friends, every time we gossip or are ungrateful, every selfish and self-righteous attitude, every failure to be generous, how about all the sins we committed only in our minds and thoughts? The Bible says the weight of sin we carry is impossible to remove or be free of. The money we owe to God is impossible to pay back because the only payment for our sins is death. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God pitied us. He had compassion on us. So He decided to cancel our debt of sin and its consequences by sending Jesus to die. He paid the price of our debt. In the parable, who paid the debt of the servant? The master, the king. The master lost billions of dollars. Somebody has to pay to cancel the debt. For our debts of sins, Christ paid for us, so that we can experience freedom in Christ and eternal life. God is the biggest victim in all of history. Everyone has sinned against God, yet God has not sinned against anyone. Rather than making us pay, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our debt to God. God let our debt of sin go by sacrificing Jesus. So that's why we who experience God's forgiveness and receive His freedom are obligated to forgive others who offend us. Let's pay attention to how the parable starts. Verse 23, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Jesus says that we who experience the forgiveness of God are the citizens in God's kingdom. Forgiveness has to be the lifestyle of all those who live in the kingdom of God. Forgiveness is not an optional part of the Christian life. It is a necessary part of what it means to be a Christian. If we are going to follow Jesus, we must forgive. We have no other choice, and we must forgive as God has forgiven us, freely, completely, and graciously. The miracle of the forgiveness that we received is a miracle that we should pass on to others. The problem is that we know that we are forgiven and we should forgive others, but it is so difficult to do. The brokenness in our hearts is so painful, and the hurts we have experienced are too deep. But what are the consequences of living with unforgiving hearts? The last part of the parable shows the destructive nature of unforgiveness. The first servant's unwillingness to forgive destroys his relationship with the other servants. Verse 31 says, "When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. When he refused to forgive others, it can hurt and harm our relationships with family, friends, and colleagues. Our unwillingness to forgive can lead to a breakdown in communication, trust, and respect, causing lasting damage to these important relationships. Unforgiveness leads to the first servant being cast into prison. When we refuse to forgive someone, we are essentially locking ourselves up in a prison of our own making. We become consumed with negative emotions such as anger, bitterness, and resentment that prevent us from experiencing joy, peace, and love. This can lead to a sense of isolation, loneliness that can be difficult to break free from. A life without forgiveness is like a life in prison." Let me say it again. Life without forgiveness is like a life in prison. Unforgiveness blocks our relationship with God. When we refuse to forgive others, we are essentially rejecting God's forgiveness and separating ourselves from His love and grace. This can lead to feelings of guilt, shame, and spiritual emptiness. Are you experiencing life in a mental and emotional prison because you are not able to forgive someone? God is saying to you today, let it go. The pain, hurt, anger, resentment, bitterness, and hatred we are clenching so tightly, God is coming alongside us and saying, open it up and let those things go. Forgiveness is a choice and act of obedience as a follower of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is a decision of the heart, a choice to refuse to imprison ourselves in the past. Forgiveness is not based on our feelings. It is a choice and act of obedience as a follower of Christ. We may not always feel like forgiving someone who has hurt us, but we can choose to forgive them. It's a conscious and willful choice to release others from their sins against us. Let it go. We can forgive others to the same extent that we have been forgiven. We are forgiven unpayable amounts of offense, betrayal, hurt, and abuse toward God. Since God showed pity and compassion to us, our only choice is to show pity and compassion to others and offer them forgiveness. We recognize and admit that the offenders are sinners just like we are sinners. It does not mean that we are diminishing their sins, but rather we leave all judgment in the hands of a just and merciful God. Forgiveness does not deny the pain or change the past, but it does break the cycle of bitterness that binds us to the wounds we have. Forgiveness allows us to let go and move on. Forgiveness can be done even when others do not apologize or confess. You can forgive without a restoration of the relationship. You can forgive when the other person has done nothing to earn forgiveness, because forgiveness is like the grace we receive from our God. It is a gift that is freely given. It is the grace we extend to our offenders. This is a famous story about forgiveness by Corrie ten Boom. It is a well-known story, and I want you to put yourself in her shoes. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian who, along with her family, helped many Jews escape the Holocaust during World War II. The ten Boom family was betrayed and eventually caught by the Nazis and sent to concentration camps. Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensbrück, a women's concentration camp in Germany. During their time in Ravensbrück, Corrie and Betsy were subjected to horrific conditions and saw countless acts of cruelty and inhumanity. Betsy died in the camp. After the war was over, Corrie traveled around Europe sharing the message of forgiveness. One day, Corrie was in Germany giving a talk to a group of people about the importance of forgiveness. After the talk, a man approached her and extended his hand to her. She recognized him, a former SS soldier who had been a vicious guard at Ravensbrück, and extending his hand to her, he asked her for forgiveness. Corrie was initially filled with anger, hatred toward the man who had been such a big part of her suffering. This is what she said in her book. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me, it seems like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. I knew I had to do it. I knew that those prisoners who were able to forgive the former enemies were also able to return to their outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nurse their bitterness remain invalids. It wasn't simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there with the coldness clenching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus helps me, I pray silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so, oddly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, spreading into our joint hands. And then, this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bring tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. How can you forgive someone? Or spouse, parents, friends, co-workers, our boss, our abusers. Someone who we had trusted so much, but who betrayed us. Or a stranger who ruined our lives. We cannot do it in our own power, but only with God's help. God's grace and forgiveness has been poured out to us. With His help, we can forgive others. It takes a great faith, and it is a miracle. So we are praying to the Lord, increase our faith so that we can forgive. And remember, Jesus is a miracle worker. In Him, we can forgive others. Could you close your eyes? I want you to clench your fists. Are you holding your painful memory of hurt and betrayal? Are you holding the faces of offenders in your mind? What kind of emotions are you holding in your heart? Anger, bitterness, pain, sorrow, resentment, even guilt and shame? Jesus is whispering to you, can you let it go? Can you let go of your resentment, the grudge, anger, and bitterness toward a friend, spouse, parent, co-worker, or any other offenders? Whom can you forgive today? Jesus is asking us to open our hands and let go of the person who sinned against us. Jesus wants us to be freed from the prison we put ourselves in. Silently, why don't we cry out, Jesus, help me? And let's open our hands and release them to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of forgiveness that you have given us through Jesus Christ. We come to you today with open hearts, asking for your help in forgiving those who have hurt us. We open our hands and release them into your hands. We acknowledge that we are all sinners in need of your grace, and that forgiveness is a requirement for those who follow you. We ask for your healing power to touch our broken hearts and to bring us the peace that comes from knowing that we are forgiven and loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Remember the picture of our broken hearts, the imagination of our broken hearts? When we forgive others as God has forgiven us, God restores and heals our hearts. To be honest with you, our hearts will not be the same, as if nothing had happened before, because something did happen, and our hearts were broken in pieces. But Christ healed our hearts and made them something beautiful and new. He takes each broken piece and carefully puts it back together, filling in the crack with His love and grace. As it works, you start to see a beautiful new pattern emerge, one that's even more beautiful than before. By forgiving others, we can live in freedom with new hearts that Christ mended and healed. God has been so gracious to us. He has forgiven our debts. And let's respond to God's grace and love by bringing our offering. You can click online giving and you can bring back to the Lord what belongs to Him. Let's receive God's blessing. Let's pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give peace. Go now in peace. Amen.